host of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we come pretty damn close to going places that not only other radio shows couldn't go to, but TV shows, too. Because in television, they have all those cameras and they have all those lights. In radio land, all we have is, well, me. And where I go, mentally, I guarantee you there's no TV station or network that could go there and survive what would happen to their license. Anyway, welcome to our show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I was looking...
What thing are you looking for?
I was actually looking for something that I was going to tell my pre-show audience about. But, to be a real big shot, I'll tell the radio audience, too. And that was the fact that today I was at Paramount Studios. Why? Well, because, I was over there. I was just over there. I was on some business. But the thing that I wanted to tell you is they gave me a visitor's pass that was printed up like a ticket. When you go to Paramount Studios as a visitor, you're not an employee, but you're going in to have a meeting or whatever, they give you a visitor's pass, and it looks like a ticket. It literally looks like an old-fashioned movie ticket. So, and it has a barcode on it. And the guy, the guard there at Paramount, and it was on the Gower Street entrance, as I walked in, he says, "Now, you're here for a meeting?" I says, "Yes, sir." "Okay, now see this, what I'm going to give you, and bring it back to me, because I want to, you want me to, usually you don't give a visitor's pass back." He says, "Oh, yeah, bring it back. I want to scan it through again. And then what I'm going to do is you take that." I said, "So in other words, you're going to give it back to me?" "Yes." I said, "Wow, why?" "Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because I'll scan it through, you go in, you have whatever you're going to do, go in and do whatever you got to do, and I don't want to know anything about it. And, if there are pictures, then..." No, he didn't say that. But in any event, "And then when you come back out, I will scan it again, I'll give it back to you, and then you have a record of having traveled here, and you know that's good for your taxes. You see?" And I'm like, "Wow, you're right. You're right." And he was also explaining it to somebody else. There's another person there. And we were both looking at each other like, for a minute I thought I was talking to some crazed old guy. But at the tail end of the story, it's pretty good.
Well, I don't say it.
In other words, the gas mileage, the use of your automobile to and from work is a write-off. To what extent, it depends on who you are and what you do. And that was a very nice record that's all ready-made, bundled up, and ready to rock and roll for you there from that one particular business. How many businesses do that for you, actually, How many businesses will give you a record of having, been there, say, here's for your taxes,
Well, what about any time you go to a dentist or something?
Well, just for a meeting. If you are just not transacting any business, you don't have a receipt, you're not really... but you're there talking about potential business. That's part of it. So anyway, I thought it was a very nice guy. I wish I would have got the guy's name. And as I was leaving, his partner was there. It was another security guy there. He says, Oh yeah. "If Charlie, let me tell you, give Charlie back," because he says, "Now when you come back out this way, make sure I get that pass back, because I want to scan it through our system." "See?" "Yes, sir." And then I give it back to you again. This is a whole process. All right? I said, "Yeah." The guy says, "Oh, yeah. Don't ever let Charlie down, man, because he guards those this is this guy's, his..."
That's like his little domain.
Yeah, it's like his little domain, but it's a cool thing because he's telling people, "Now, you take this, and you go home with this, and you'll have a record, and now you're, you're solid." So guess what I did? I brought it home, and now I lost it.
Yeah, I wonder where it is.
I was going to show everybody on Phil TV, but I can't find it. It's around here someplace. Anyway, welcome to the show. Our number is 877-876-7445. Now, today, Vice President Biden was speaking, and perhaps you've heard this. If you haven't, hold on to your, your whatever you like to hold on to. Hold on to something and listen to this, because it was a wild thing. It was Biden talking to a group of people. Now, where's the news? I'm bringing it up in the news. And here is what Biden said. Do we have this? I've got some comments about Ryan and a bunch of other guys. More the latter than the former, it would seem. with Exhibit A being the Veep's unsuitable race baiting. Race baiting, folks. This is what the New York Daily News is calling it. And wait till you hear the quote. Before a mostly black audience in Virginia on Tuesday, Biden, affecting a faux sub Mason-Dixon accent, told the crowd Mitt Romney's election would put y'all back in chains. That's what Biden said. Now, I have the clip. If you you guys want to hear it?
Yeah, it's way better. Here, you do it.
All right, I'm just Robert.
Yeah, what are you asking for, man? Of course.
All right. All you guys out there? No, I'm kidding. I don't mean to drag it out. All right, let's listen to our vice president as he was talking. I think we have this listed under B for Biden or...
D for dumbass.
D for dumbass. Or R for rock and roll. Where is... Here we go. Here is Biden, and I didn't really edit this down. Here is the raw fang of the vice president speaking on Tuesday before a, quote, mostly black audience. There's nothing there. Okay, there's nothing on the audio. All right, that's really unfortunate. Hold on, folks. I've got it. I just don't know when or how. Well, all right, so Biden's not there. Did I already load him in? What he said basically was he'll put you all back in chains. And what that meant was he was initially discussing, apparently what he was discussing initially, was Romney talking about unchaining Wall Street. And after he said, Romney, and he was quoting Romney in this mocking manner, after Romney is going to put you all back in chains, as he said, then he is going to, as Romney takes the chains off of Wall Street, he's going to put all of you back in chains. Here is Biden, folks. Forgive me, I forgot that it was an MP3. Here is Joe Biden.
Look at what they value and look at their budget. And what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains. Woo! Woo! He said he's going to do nothing about stopping the practice of outsourcing.
All right, so there it is. And that was primarily... wait a minute. Is that me being recorded?
Yeah, you're talking, you're recording it.
Oh, okay. So in any event, that is Joe Biden as he was addressing this group. And we're going to bring on the line now. We have Kurt Quede and Guy Barton from Charleston, West Virginia, who are going to be talking with us tonight about these very comments by the vice president. And you guys, as Democratic state legislators, as Democratic state senators, I imagine are not too upset with what the vice president said.
Phil, I don't think there's anything to be upset about any more than what should really upset people, which was what Mitt Romney said about unchaining Wall Street and taking this country back to the days when we were on our way to this economic meltdown as a result of these bad investments and these bad loans and these toxic assets. That the banks had to handle. So I don't think anything that Joe Biden said is anywhere near as bad as what Mitt Romney said when he said, I want to unchain Wall Street. And guys, I got Guy Barton here, too.
I'm Kurt Quede and Guy Barton. Guy, how are you?
Well, I'm very good.
Go ahead. Your feeling.
Oh, I think Kurt said it very well. I think you have this man, Mitt Romney, is saying he's going to unchain Wall Street. That's the very thing. We don't want anyone... make the mistake of thing. We have Wall Street got to be brought under control. That is exactly what has ruined this country. And more to the point, what ruined America is not only Wall Street not being brought under control, but all the financier, the bank, and everything like this. Now, Biden said he wants to put you all back in chains. I think what Joe Biden has done is spoke the truth. And
yeah, but what people were saying about that...
Oh, hold on just a minute. Joe Biden spoke the truth, and he was speaking to people... that I think understand when you talk about putting a man back in chains. Who are you talking about more than anybody else? You're talking about people that are not the entitled, the rich, the top 2% or something you want to call. He's talking about people who are impoverished, people who are below poverty line, below the line of earning, a middle class, or how you say it. You know?
Yeah, and Phil, most of those people come out, if you come out in the wash, you take a look at it, right? and you have all your laundry done, and you've got everything folded in the basket, and you're looking to see what came out of the wash and what's still there inside a washing machine or the washing can that you used back when I was a kid. We used to use on a washing machine, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Had that scrub board.
Yeah, and a scrub board. Now, what do you think is laying there in a wash tub but the black folks, and you put it out in the wash, but the black folks are still there, and I think that's so bad was talking about.
Yeah, but what about this faux accent, this y'all want to put y'all back in chains, you know?
Well, I just heard you do it, and you know, and...
Yeah, but I'm mocking him.
Yeah, that's how you do what?
I said I am mocking the vice president. Don't you feel, and perhaps it's not a fair question to ask you because you guys are white...
Why can't I answer the question because I'm white?
Yeah, hold on. We can answer that question because we're white, and I tell you now that that is not an offensive thing.
You could say as if you were black.
I don't have to be black. I'm as a white man. I listen to that, and I don't not offensive. I think what Joe Biden was saying more than anything else is he's telling the black people. He's saying, listen, I somebody has got to tell you this, set you straight on this, and let you know what's going on. You know, is Biden Romney going to want to put you back in the chains? And just as he has allowed Wall Street,
put you back. You don't think that put you back in chains is an explosive thing to say to a, quote, predominantly black audience?
No, I don't think it is. I'll tell you why, Phil. I think that you have to give those people credit to be more intelligent than you have given. I don't think you're talking to people who are so stupid that they don't know that the vice president is engaged in some hyperbole, you know.
That's exactly what it is.
And, they're so stupid they don't know that the vice president is engaging in using a satirical, if you want to call it that, reference or parody taken to the absurd, you know.
You know, everybody likes to use that satirical or parody excuse.
No, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse.
All right, but I mean, it's a very extreme thing to say to, I think. All right, well, let's take a break here. Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton from Charleston, South Carolina, on the comments of Vice President Biden on Tuesday, saying to a crowd of quote unquote predominantly black voters that Romney wants to, quote, put you all back in chains, end quote. We'll be right back, and we'll play the cut again in its entirety. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil. And it is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Look at what they value and look at their budget.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and they are from Charleston, West Virginia, both of them members of the West Virginia State Legislature. And guys, before we take a couple of phone calls here, I wanted to ask you, as state legislators, as state politicians, as opposed to national politicians, this isn't really something that is a part of... I know that it's part of your experience in terms of your constituents, what Vice President Biden said about y'all getting back into chains, but what you have to say, does it have any impact on a national level? You know what I mean?
Well, I like to think it does, Phil. You have us on your program.
Yeah, we're on your radio show.
No. I mean, in terms of my audience, yes, it does, but the national political... You know, the members of the political establishment?
Well, I think that, I think it does, because the vice president is looking for us to echo, or I think what he's looking for is an immediate sounding board of Democratic politicians, Democratic leaders across the country, so that when he said to these folks, listen, this man, Mitt Romney, this man's going to put you all back in chains, I can say to him, yes, that was a very good thing to say, because I think in many ways it's true.
Yeah, and that we would have to echo that, you know.
Yeah, but okay. You're not black.
Doesn't make any difference whether I'm black or not. Doesn't make any difference whether I'm black or not. I'm a leader in West Virginia, and I'm a Democrat. Sure, the hell, I tell you this now, there's no Republican that's going to tell me he got a better line on how the black voter feel than a Democrat does.
But isn't that's the old story? You know, Democrats think that they've sewed up the black vote for the next 200 years. You know, and
I'm not saying that that's the case. They sold up the black vote the next 200 years. No, I think we got to go out and vote. They work for that vote, you know. But by the same token, who else you going to vote for? And here, better question: who else going to tell you the truth? You know.
Who else is going to tell you the truth? All right, well, there's the question. 877-876-7445. So what do you think about what Joe Biden said when he said that Mitt Romney wants to, quote, put you all back into chains, speaking primarily to a black audience? Here is Kim. Go ahead, Kim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Mr. Henry. First off, I'd like to say that I really enjoy your show. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. And we have overcome so many obstacles when it has come to racism in this state. I don't believe for our vice president to have went on national TV, shown on national TV, making a statement like he did about putting y'all back in chains. To me, all that does is gets people's blood boiling, thinking about the racism that the people have endured, you know, over centuries. And I don't think that it's right with the way that things are calming down with racism, especially in the state of Kentucky. I don't believe that's right for him to say something like that. All it does, the way that I feel, is I believe that he is trying to make a uproar. That could cause so much tension between any types of race, and to make that statement into a crowd of predominantly colored people is just totally wrong for someone of his stature and in his position to be the second in command if something was to happen to our president to say something like that. To me, that's racism coming from our vice president that we don't need. And, you know, I'm Republican. Yeah. It doesn't. It really bothers me the fact that he is. You know, they've got to during all these elections, they have to bring up something about race, and we're trying to overcome that, and we have overcome.
Let me ask our guests, Kurt or Guy. Do you guys have something?
Well, yeah, I'd like to comment. This is Guy Barton, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine, Guy. I love hearing you when you come on too, hon.
Thank you. I want to ask you a question. Talk about colored folk that he was talking to. Now, they're educated people. I don't think we have to fear that these colors are going to say.
By the way, I heard the lady Kim and you, Guy, use the word colored.
Yeah, I don't mean racial by that, you know. We'll use that term down south, colored people.
That's a very antiquated term. I don't hear it used anywhere. In fact, I don't hear it used in the South much.
I think you've got to spend a little more time in the South. Isn't that right, Kim?
I'm just telling you. You can it's not exactly the
people have different.
It's not exactly the N.
I did word that wrong.
The N word.
I understand it, I talk about the people of color. You know, people that are colored up. Well, not colored, but color. People of color, you know.
People of color, I've heard, yeah.
That's what he's saying.
But it's different. It's different. Colored people's different from me. All right, go ahead.
But here's the thing about what Joe Biden said, and I think it needs to be understood, that, you know, we have got to, and I say this, you're a Southerner. More than a Republican, you're a Southerner, all right? Joe Biden is simply trying to reach across that Mason-Dixon line just a little bit and say, oh, now look at, I may be from Delaware, but I know how it is. You know, I know how it plays. I know which side of the, as we used to say, you know, I know which side of the bread the butter's on, you know, and let me just speak directly to my constituents in the South, and that is you got yourself a whole, as they say, a hot mess with this Mitt Romney. Yeah, he's a hot mess. And you coloreds are going to have, not colored, but you colored people are going to have yourself a hot mess. Put that man Romney in there. He's going to stick you back in chains, put you right down on the middle passage.
The middle passage. See, that's what I'm talking about.
That was the wrong term for Joe Biden to use. He should have never used that. And we have tried to overcome, and we have overcome so many boundaries in my lifetime. I'm a 46-year-old woman. And yes, I'm
right. We got to take a break. Kim, thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate your call. 877-876-7445. Yeah, thank you. I'm afraid we have to take a break, though.
Let's talk about the middle passage. What's wrong with that?
That's the middle, the slave ships? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from Charleston, West Virginia, and we're talking about Joe Biden, the vice president, unmute our audio feed, who had VP Joe Biden, who had made a comment here to a group of people at a dinner, I guess it was. Was this a dinner? Basically, this was a, he delivered a speech to the public policy, well, let me see, a group of African Americans at the in Chicago, some kind of a dinner they were having, and said that Romney wants to put y'all into chains. Again, before we get back to calls, I want to ask you, Kurt, can you not see how inflammatory that can be to a lot of black voters?
I feel it's not that I'm insensitive to it, but I have to go on what I heard. And what I heard was people giving him a round of applause, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that too. And you hear that man say it, oh, you're Romney. You can play that again if you want to.
And well, we'll play it again.
But I heard people reacting with a round of applause. I heard people saying, yeah, you know, because I'm not black, but if I was a black man and I heard Joe Biden say that Romney want to put you all back in chains, I would have been, yeah, you know.
I swear to God, yeah.
Yeah, I would have been, yeah.
Well, that's you thinking, you say if you were black, but you're not, okay? And I can well imagine that there might be some who would say, boy, is that ever a pandering comment.
No, hold on. You talk about pander. I'd like to know how you figure that's pandering.
Oh, come on, y'all. I mean, it's almost like a Saturday Night Live bit. It's almost, it's comical where a guy stands there, a white guy from Delaware, trying to lay it on, trying to lay down this Mason-Dixon talk, you know.
Hold on, Phil. Talk about Mason-Dixon. Let me tell you, I was raised on collard greens. I was raised on okra. I was raised on black-eyed peas. I was raised on peach cobbler. I was raised on chicken and peanut oil. I will tell you that my family had a very difficult time making ends meet to the point where we were raised at times on possum pie.
Yeah, like myself, too.
You know, a real poor folk food. So I know what it's like to be a Southerner and to be poor, and there ain't nothing in this world. There's nothing in this world worse than being from the South and being poor. You sound like it. You look like it. You smell like it. Sometimes I will look at a man and say, you would not believe where I come from.
Yeah.
But at one time in my life, my mother couldn't put shoes on my feet. Maybe you can smell it on me. I love to say that a lot of these Republicans do. I say that, you think you know what poverty is, man? You smell it on me? And I got the guy both ways coming and going because he said, yeah, now we got it, now it's on. You know, if he said no, then I know he doesn't know anything.
That's right, that's right. You tell a man, you smell it on me.
You smell it on. All right, so you're poor, so that makes you what? You understand how black folks think. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go to Jocelyn. Jocelyn, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I don't think any of these white people doing all this talking about how black people feel about Joe Biden's statements. Number one, I'm a Republican. I'm supporting Mitt Romney. I'm glad he put Ryan on the ticket because he's a flamethrower. The Democrats, all they know how to do is smear and play the race card to hold on to the black vote, the people that are on welfare, who can't think for themselves, and they play the race card in every opportunity. if you knew the history of the Republican Party, they're the ones that helped organize the NAACP in 1908. The Democrats were supporting the Ku Klux Klan. So we want to deal with history. I'm a student of history. So
no,
you
no,
can't
we
tell
don't
me
have to bring
about
that
the Republican
up,
Party.
We don't have
and the
to
Democrats,
bring that up.
All they do is pander to the white vote, the black vote, because that's the only way they can beat a Republican. And I'm sick and tired of whites who know they're racist.
I'm white, but I'm black.
You're not black.
Social programs and being dependent on the government instead of being entrepreneurs and creating
jobs. How can you be black? I don't understand how you say you're black. You say you're black. You don't understand.
I grew up in the civil rights movement. I grew up in the NAACP. I've walked in picket lines. You can't tell me about my people. You cannot tell me about black people in Indiana. Okay?
How come you Republican then? How come you Republican?
Black people across this country when 44% of our young black males can't get a job in this country. And Obama needs to be talking about jobs, not tax statements, while we're at it. Transcripts on the table. Nobody can.
I want to ask a question here. Jocelyn, I want to ask a question.
Is he a foreign exchange student at Harvard, or if he is a legitimate citizen of the United States?
And let me ask a question here, very quickly, Jocelyn. Kurt Quidi, hold on, Jocelyn. I got
to
put you on hold
on to black votes. And all black people did not vote.
Okay. I want to ask you, Kurt, a question. What did you mean when you asked her, is she black?
I couldn't believe she's black. No, no black people talk the way she's talking. I mean, I bet you she's still talking.
Honey, I don't have to prove anything to you. I am black.
She's talking about she and
I grew up in the civil rights era in this country.
And see, she's still talking, even though you had her on hold.
Are you white?
Okay.
Are you white? I don't know you, and you don't know me.
My name is Kurt Quidi.
I'm white, and I don't know who I am or anything about me. I fought in more civil rights battles and against racism in the state of Indiana.
Oh, my God. Kurt sounds like a Morse code.
All right, hold on. Jocelyn, we got a lot of people talking over. What did you say, Kurt?
I said a lady. She asked me if I'm white. I'm white, but I've got a very strong and very powerful sense of black. And what I mean by that,
you can't.
I come from
my people.
I come from the South. All right.
Okay,
I come from the North.
I'm a Northern Negro.
That makes me more close to blacks than you because you're Northern black.
No, you're not Indiana's the southern
you're windswept.
State, sir.
All right, I understand that. Indiana, very conservative state, though, and I understand why you're Republican, but you are what we call a windswept black.
No,
what is windswept?
You're a former Democrat.
Former Democrat.
I switched parties, sir, because the Democrats want to enslave my people economically.
You said you switched?
They want them to get on welfare and government benefits.
All right, let's talk. This is a very interesting conversation. Jocelyn is African-American from Indiana. She's black. She is a Republican, a conservative. She sees through Joe Biden's comments. She feels that Democrats take the black vote for granted and have essentially kept black people chained to a different kind of institutional slavery, if you will, and that is the enslavement to the federalism.
That's just plain insane. And I think if Jocelyn sat back and listened to what she's saying, and somebody played it back to her, she'd probably say, my God, what is that? Who is that?
Well, we wouldn't have needed affirmative action out of the 60s. And if you recall, Senator Edward
God,
Johnson,
my God.
A Republican from Illinois, pushed through the 64th Civil Rights Bill through the Congress. And then
I just say this. I don't believe you're black. I think you're a white
the
comic.
Legacy of the Republican Party in terms of civil rights activism.
I think this is a white comedian from Indianapolis.
No, this is a lady calling from Indianapolis. Correct, Jocelyn? Is that where you are?
No, I think this is a white comic.
No, she's a... All right. Thank you for your call. Unless you guys had another comment.
I just want to say to Jocelyn, please give the Democratic Party a chance because
no,
we're
sir,
the people.
I left. I gave the Democratic Party 30 years of my life, and they have enslaved my people.
But we have more white people in the Democratic Party that think and feel like black people than you shake a stick at.
No, they don't think and feel because if that's the case, my people wouldn't be unemployed. There's a higher unemployment rate in the black community nationally than it is in the white community.
That's because of George Bush, see? They had...
What?
That's because of George Bush.
That's George Bush. George Bush was president.
George Bush. I think it's because of another lie you all keep telling.
Every time George Bush was president, you know, he was president, all of a sudden black folks couldn't get a job.
You know, the media...
Oh, boy.
The media has been very kind to Obama because of his skin color. But as far as I'm concerned, Obama might as well lean more towards the color of his mother. Because he has not stood up for
black. You've got to be white.
I haven't heard him talk about affirmative action. I haven't heard him talk about anything. He's talked about
Jocelyn, we have a lady on the line. We have a lady on the line here. This is Claire. No, this is Mavis. And Mavis is a... She's a conservative, or at least Mavis. Jocelyn, we have a lady on the line here who voted for McCain.
And I would never vote for Obama because he's the first black president, supposedly black, he's half white too.
And they told me, and I said to them, I would never vote for Obama because he's half white. And
well, hold on. We had two guys,
Obama,
two ladies.
I did not vote him 4 years ago, and he doesn't have my vote this far, and anybody else I know. They're not voting
for him. And another thing about him, I voted for John McCain.
And who are you voting, all right, Jocelyn, who are you voting for, Mavis?
I'm going to vote for this year.
Yeah.
I'm like this lady. I'm voting for Mitt Romney. And
okay, so we have two black females on the line who are going to vote for Mitt Romney.
I think they're both, these ladies need to have a head examined. You got
to
have your head examined.
You are dumbass white. That's right. You are dumbass white, man.
I'm on the Constitution, and I walked in more picket lines than you have ever walked in.
And I was down south. I let you tell a lady at St. Augustine, I'm not trying to tell you ladies how to vote, but if you're black and you're voting for Mitt Romney, well, you might as well just go ahead and put on that Aunt Jemima do now.
I do my homework. I don't need you to put on the Aunt Jemima do. That's the problem with the Democrat Party. You think most black people can't
put on
the
Aunt Jemima do my ass and put that on.
I have a degree in
political science. I'll kick both your asses. You look pretty funny going down the street with my boot up your ass.
All right, whoa. All right, listen, Jocelyn and Mavis, thank you. You got to move on. I appreciate your calls. 877-876-7445. We also have on the line Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and we're talking about Joe Biden, and that wasn't me swatting a fly. That was me clapping my hands together, and that sounded pretty incongruous, didn't it?
What do you mean incongruous?
Not in Congress, incongruous. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Obama, and all I see is a white man with big ears.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't think that lady was a black woman, you know.
All right, well, yes, she was, because I screened. I just was talking to a gentleman about that. Yes, she was. I screened her very thoroughly myself, and she admitted to having had a very hoarse voice, because I think she's used to hearing that from people. You know, you sound like a man. She has it's a cigarette throat is what it is, you know.
I related that, but I think it's very difficult to believe Phil, this guy, by the way, Phil. I think it's a bit difficult to believe that's a black lady because of a lot of opinions she expressed. She taught him mound down the Republican somehow better for black people. Now, we have spent an awful lot of money and a lot of time and sweat and toil being a place where black people could come and sit and talk and express themselves and have a political party that can listen and going to, sit down and listen, at least sit down and listen. Now, I'm not saying that we get everything done, you know. At this particular point in history, I don't know whether you're going to be able to get everything done, but one thing we can do is at least sit and listen to them. And they got somewhere to go.
You're going to be able to hear what they have to say, you know, and then we go on, if we can, to the extent we can do something about it. A lot of times you can't, you know.
So all you guys do is sit and listen to people.
No, that's not all we do.
No, I didn't say that's all we do.
Maybe we can get it done, maybe we can't, but at least it's a political party that listens to black people.
Too, I don't think that bad. You know that.
Let me do it. I don't think that what he's trying to say is not fair to say that, although it may be accurate, it's not fair.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let me go over to caller Paul here in Detroit. Paul, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. First of all, sir. I want to say that I don't believe those two women were black. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made the comments that they did. And here
don't you think there could be conservative black females out there?
Talking down to the president the way they did, no. And being a black man here in Detroit, where the population is 95% black, I've talked with friends and relatives the last couple of days about the vice president's remarks. And none of my friends and relatives are offended by it. In fact, we are in total agreement with what he said. Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan.
Mr. Hendricks, about talking about going cornpone and everything.
No, I said it sounded cornbread. Go ahead, sir.
Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan's plans will put the black people back in chains, not physically, but economically, which is what the vice president meant. And if you would have listened. If you would have listened to the reaction of the crowd after he made those statements, there was no gasp, no, oh, my goodness. There were, right on, and they were in complete agreement with him also.
That's my point, Phil, about, and that's why I say a lot of white people, I'm not trying to say I'm black, you know, but I say a lot of white people in the party think like blacks. And
a lot of that's the kind of stuff I don't get, you know. I mean, I'm talking, here's Paul. Paul's a black man. What do you think of a guy who's white saying, yeah, but I'm a Democrat, so I think more like a black person?
The Democratic Party is more in line to respect and help the rights of the black folks. So, yeah, I believe white Democrats think more like black people do.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
All right. Now, the lady that you said wasn't black, one of them's called back, Paul. Let me just get her back on the line. What line is she on? Three? Is this Mavis?
Yeah, and this man who is calling in from Detroit, if you want to know my history, I walked with Dr. King in St. Augustine. You know St. Augustine, Florida?
Yes.
I walked with Dr. King, and I walked with Dr. Ralph Abernathy in St. Augustine, Florida. And I come to California in 1969 because I wanted to have a better life. And then when I come out here, I saw what the Democrat did to this state. They bankrupt this state. There's no money left in this state.
Miss Mavis, tell me I'm not a black woman.
I'll tell you, I'm more a black woman than you are a black man.
All right, let's not be.
I'm very upset with this man, Mavis.
Let me ask you a question. As a black woman, how can you say that Mitt Romney, his plans, his policies, are going to help the blacks more than President Obama's plans?
I will tell you how, because Mitt Romney is saying to black people, like he's saying to white people, I'm going to give you the seeds to grow your own business. I'm not going to go out there and water it for you, though. And I'm not going to go out there and till the soil, but I'm going to let you have the seeds to grow your... That's what black people need. That's what black people need. You give us the opportunity, you give us the tax break, and you let us build our own business. I don't need any more of this cheap sweat, Barack Obama. I got to have a hand up. Black people are tired of that. Black people are tired of that hand up and trying to pull me up. You talk about slavery. You want to stay a slave to Barack Obama and his Democrats.
Let me say this. Here in the state of Michigan, there are more white people receiving government assistance than there are black people.
What did you say?
And that's also around the country.
Michigan.
So don't say that black people are looking for handouts.
I'm just telling you, the best thing for every American, I don't care what color, and I would tell you, we need to have a business and to grow our business and to keep money in our pocket just as much as a white man. How come I've got to put my money out, all this tax, this tax, that? Because you know black people get taxed, too. We have to pay those taxes, too.
Right.
I'm not going to.
Exactly.
You know,
we paying more taxes than guys like, than the millionaires like Mitt Romney are paying. And they're making 100 times much more money than us.
Well, I know a little something about economics. And one of the things I know is if you have a man on a business and you tell that man to pay more money to the government, he got less money to pay for employees and new equipment and getting young people off the street that you are talking so much about through your hat. If you don't
and
know
the
nothing
president
about
is not
economics,
trying to tax the small business people more. He wants
He's talking
tax
about
millionaires.
Taxing the bigger guys.
Tax the people that can hire the most, tax them the most. That makes sense. Before you start talking about who's black, I think you need take a good long look in the mirror.
All right, let's not talk. Paul, thank you very much. I got to take a break.
Okay.
Appreciate your call, though, sir. 877-876-7445.
How'd I do?
You did fine.
I don't know if I believe half of what I just said, but that was a lot of fun.
Get her out of here, will you?
What you doing?
Well, was she talking truth or not? What was she doing?
I don't know. Talking out of ass, man.
Talking out of her ass, like everybody else on this show, except for you, Paul. 877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll continue talking about Vice President Biden and his comments and other issues of political import on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I live.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue our discussion this evening about Joe Biden and his comments the other night to a select group of people, I am told, most of whom were African-American, and you heard the comments. We'll play them again for you. These having to do with Mitt Romney and what it was like, what was likely to happen if Mitt Romney were to become president of the United States. He was talking about unchaining Wall Street. That was a quote from Romney, I believe, that was being used there by the vice president, who went on to say,
look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put y'all back in chains. He said he's going to do nothing about stopping the practice of outsourcing.
All right, so there is just a little bit of that. Turn that off. All right, so we're back here with Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton. We have Mavis Leonard back on the line with us as well to give a conservative perspective, although you are black.
I'm black. And Phil, you know, I think it is a crying shame that a black woman can't get on a radio show like your show was on and say, I'm from Mitt Romney, and people don't even believe her. That's how backwards a lot of black people are. Phil, can I say something, lady?
Go ahead.
You can say anything you want.
Well, I, ma'am, with all due respect, you know, you're a white man. So you're going to tell me how I feel?
No, ma'am, no, I would not tell you how you feel. But, ma'am, I would say that, you know, I just see, I hate to say this, but I see a sort of a future with Mitt Romney in the White House for black people, you know.
That lawn jockey.
Say that again.
That lawn jockey, you know.
Yeah, it's what we call lawn jockey future. We say that.
Lawn jockey future for who?
The only person going to make a lawn jockey out of my son or out of him would be Barack Obama make a lawn jockey out of him.
All right. Let's go to some phone calls here. What is the point of that crack, a lawn jockey future? What is that?
Well, Phil, I think that that's something we're talking about in the Democratic Party. You want a lawn jockey future? That is, that's the only place a black man or a black woman going to have with a Republican in the White House is we're going to be back on a lawn. They're going to be back on the lawn with a lawn jockey. You know.
Yeah,
can see a lawn jockey.
I've seen lawn jockeys, yeah. Yeah, the black jockey.
Yeah, the black jockey. And keep in mind, there are no black jockeys. There are Mexican black jockeys. And, you know, some there are black jockeys, but they are Caribbean. Yeah, that's not the same as American.
All right, well, whatever. The fact that you would call that a lawn jockey future sounds to me like, you know, a return to the antebellum days of the South. And that sounds like quite a knock on the Republican Party.
Not a knock on the Republican Party, Phil. That God's honest truth.
That is a lie. That is a dirty lie. That is not going to happen. I think any black person listening to broadcast tonight, hear you say something like that, they are hearing a white man lie. You lying just as much as George Wallace. You lying.
No, I'd be compared to George Wallace to me is very that.
You're lying just as much as Lester Maddox. You lying.
All right, let's not call people liars. If the man's got a point of view that isn't right, then he's got a point of view that isn't quite right. Let's take some phone calls here. 877-876-7445. Here is Paul. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
No, it's Art. It's Art.
Oh, it's Art. I'm sorry, Art. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. Now, two things. Now, as far as Biden's metaphor, I think that the Republicans are just creating a tempest in a teapot, and they're trying to get as much mileage out of Biden's metaphor as they can, and especially in consideration of the hundreds of hateful things said by the Republicans and their representatives and previously said by them in a codified manner. And then the thing about the metaphor, as the gentleman mentioned earlier, there weren't any audible collective gasps from the audience. Nobody there said anything negative about it the next day in the news. At least I didn't read anything. And the people didn't have a problem with it there. The black people didn't have a problem with it. Now, all of a sudden, the hypocrisy lies in the fact that all of a sudden, the Republicans are so concerned about a perceived racial slur. The second thing I'd like to comment on is this whole thing about, well, the Republican Party did this for the blacks and the Democrats did that. Now, the truth is that there was a great flood in 1927, and the truth is that the Republican Party, they lost this luster of being the so-called Party of Lincoln when they reneged on promises to the black leaders after the great flood. The flood helped make the then Secretary of Commerce, Herbert Hoover, who was in charge of the flood relief operations, cast him into the national spotlight. It also set the stage for his election to the presidency. But what happened?
Hold on, let the man finish. Let him finish, and then we'll hear from you.
The flood, it also helped Huey Long's election to the governorship of Louisiana. Hoover was applauded for his masterful handling of the refugee camp. What happened? There were some concerns over the treatment of the blacks in those camps, and that caused him to make promises to the African-American community that he later broke, losing the black vote in his reelection campaign. And what happened, there were several reports on the situation in the refugee camps. And there was the president of Tuskegee was appointed to head a commission. His name was Robert Moulton, and he agreed to keep all that information about how the blacks were treated in the camps. They kept that out of the media at Hoover's request. And Hoover gave a pledge of further reforms for the blacks after the presidential election if he was elected. He failed to deliver. Now, after he did that, that's when the blacks, the African Americans, they shifted their allegiance from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party and Franklin Roosevelt. And this thing about the Republican Party then being the same as now, times change, people change. Political party agendas change. Nothing stays stagnant except closet racists trying to go back to turn the clock back to their former days.
All right. Hold on.
nothing but okay. Southern pride. It's anti-woman.
Right.
It's anti-non-white.
Anti-woman. I tell
that
kid, he'll meet the
science,
and the last five houses I cleaned were owned by a Democrat.
Okay?
Talk about a flood.
It's anti-civil rights. It's pro-Confederate.
I just need to come up for air.
It's pro-Confederate.
I don't know how you get through today without
right.
a snorkel on.
Okay. And if they want the South to rise
or
again,
get a deep-sea diving suit with
a
big helmet on
to try to help
you breathe while you underwater. I bet you give a speech underwater. I bet you can't find no human to talk to. You damn sure give a speech to some fish.
Hello? Hello?
I think they both hung up at the same time.
They both hung up at the same time. Great. all right. 877-876-7445. Now, so Mavis is gone. Good. So Jocelyn's back with us here. Are you Curtin guy, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil. I never went no place.
All right.
Phil, you
yes,
know
ma'am.
What amazes me?
You got that one that lady come back on, right?
In
yes.
2012, some of these black and white people... hate to believe that there's still blacks that support the Republican Party and are going to be voting for Mitt Romney, okay?
This lady back on now. I thought you got her hung up on this lady.
No, this lady's back on because Mavis was back on.
We don't have to debate who we're voting for, and I don't need anybody to question what color I am. I have a birth certificate. That's more than what I can say for Obama.
All right, dear. All right, listen, I've got to take a break. Thank you for your call. 877-876-7445. Good Lord. World famous Phil Hendry Show, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. We had Mavis there for a while. And Pastor William Rennick, I think, is going to be joining us in a moment. Talking about Joe Biden. We're talking about the American political scene. We're talking about the continuing discussion in this country having to do with the political beliefs, systems, agendas, and so on and so forth of black people or white people. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as a monolithic black vote? Is there such a thing as a monolithic white vote? I probably not. Some people wish there was. Some people wish there wasn't. We'll be back with all of it here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to bring on Pastor William Rennick here in a moment. Pastor Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton hanging on, guys. Thank you very, very much. And I will say this, that while we've had a, while you gentlemen have been, I think, the least contentious.
I've tried to see people along here, Phil.
Yeah, but you guys also lent a little bit to the controversy of the night, making statements like, you know, white people in the Democratic Party think more like black people.
Yeah, but you heard that one lady.
Yeah, you heard that one lady. She agreed with that one lady. And I believe if you listen, what was her name, Jocelyn?
Yeah, her name was Jocelyn. That people thought she was, they said that one man said she's not black. I know she's black because, do you know, I had a teacher that sounded just like her. And
you had a black teacher?
No, I did not have a black teacher. She was a white woman, but she sounded just like that. She had that voice, you know.
Yeah, they're down there smoking all them cigarettes.
Say that again.
They smoking all them cigarettes?
Oh, yeah. That's a cigarette smoke, you know. Yeah.
All right, well, but I think that that's a... To anyone, to any conservative, whether they're black or white, to say that white Democrats think more like black people than other white people... is very, very, is a very contentious, I think it's a very inflammatory statement.
Well, yeah, it may be inflammatory, but I think maybe some people need that, you know. When I was...
That's true.
When I was a young man, my father used to say to me, he said to me, you know, son, you should never give nobody a hot foot. You know what a hot foot, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
You know that?
Yeah, I know what a hot foot is. You put a match in between their feet?
Yeah, you put the match in between the toes, you know. But my father used to say, don't ever give no one a hot foot unless they need it, you know?
Yeah, my father said the same damn thing. And
yeah, you know what I'm saying? Down south, we kind of do that. We take a common dog, you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But except you live down south, you damn sure make a horse drink. because you got a field to plow, you know.
My papa used to say that all the time. He used to say to me, Rome wasn't built in a day, but that was the Romans. He said, we Americans, and more than that, we Southerners. And,
yeah, that's right.
And so I damn sure Rome going to get built in a day.
Rome? What did your father say?
My father said, son, remember what the Romans say. Rome wasn't built in a day. That's because Romans was building it. But down south, you know.
Yeah, you get down south, now we put that thing up lickety-split, you know. And
now, you look at that Burger King. That was what I talked about, the Burger King. And
I'm telling the story.
Did I tell you the story, Phil?
No.
This is the Burger King over there in St. John. Now, this is a Caribbean island. And this was a Caribbean island that was, it is the British Caribbean, British ended, not America. You know, Virgin Island, that's what I'm trying to say, Virgin Island. Now, you have United Kingdom down there, right?
You're talking about the British Virgin Islands, as opposed to the U.S.
Yeah, that's exactly right, as opposed to you. Now, down at British Virgin Islands, they got themselves a Wendy's. And I know, because I know the man that owned that Wendy's, a very dear friend of mine who had been raised, born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, but moved to the United Kingdom because he'd had a business that got started and had a branch office there. Now, he's down in the Virgin Islands, he got himself a Wendy's franchise. Now, do you know from the time they laid the first brick on that Wendy's to the time they flipped their first square hamburger, how many years you think it was?
Where did you hear this, Phil?
Years?
How many years?
Two?
Try four.
Yeah.
Try four.
4 years to build a...
4 years down in the British Virgin Island to build a dam. And I said to him, he said, but that's Caribbean time. I said, let me tell you what. Wait till you see our colors go to work. And I ain't saying this racist. Now, see, this is not racist. I said, but you see our colors go to work in the South. Yeah,
you put the color to work on that, you know.
See, you guys sound like a couple of Dixiecrat racists when you talk that way.
Phil, now, you got to understand, did you hear what these people were saying? They're saying that the white people in the Republican Party trying to drive a wedge in a Democrat.
What are you talking about racism? Why bring that up?
Well, what are you talking about? Wait till you see some coloreds down south do it.
Well, no. I'm sorry, Phil. You didn't understand what I said.
No, I understood entirely what you said.
What did I say?
You said that there was a Wendy's that your friend was building in the British Virgin Islands. It took 4 years, but wait till you see the coloreds in the south, they put one up faster.
No, I just said a colored. See, that's the use of the word colored, you know.
You know, I know you. A lot of whites don't like that word. All right. So I say the blacks to put the what to get the blacks to put up a Wendy, you know, and I know you're saying it racist, okay? I'm not talking about blacks.
Yes, it's very racist. And I said, oh wow, those Caribbean blacks, man, takes them 4 years to put a Wendy's up.
But is that true? Is that a true story?
You talking to me?
Yeah,
it's a true story. I told you a true story. That's my friend Gene. And when
that's Gene Garber, right?
Gene Garber, right? He's not related to the pitcher. There used to be a pitcher named Gene Garber with the Atlanta Braves. This is a different Gene Garber, but although I do know the other Gene Garber, too. Now, this guy put a Wendy's up. You know, he had two Wendy's restaurants.
All right, so he built a Wendy's in the British Virgin Islands. It took him 4 years.
From the time they laid the first brick to the time they flipped the first square hamburger.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Phil?
I think it's, you know, Caribbean time. But the thing that I'm saying to you guys is, for you to say our coloreds in the States could do it faster.
No, you don't understand, no. You a northerner. You don't understand how we talk and how we feel. We don't mean keep a man down. I'm not talking about keep a man tied to a plow.
Yeah, we're not talking about using that man as a pack mule, you know.
No, he ain't no pack mule. He is just a man, you know.
Yeah, but he's the colored that gets the Wendy's built faster. Are there any white guys that build Wendy's?
Oh, yeah, look at that. We got more people. If you put the people to work down south during the construction work, we got more white trash. Let me just lay it out to you. We got the colors. We got white trash. We got all the trailer trash. We got some mountain trash. We got the poor black. We got all kinds of people we got to put to work down south. Now, you talk about how, well, I don't want to use the racial terms and so on. So I don't either, and I don't use racial terms. I'm just saying to you that if you want to get a Wendy's hamburger and you want to get a, if you're hungry, I'll tell you what. you like Wendy's, Phil?
Yeah, what do you think of Wendy's, Phil?
What?
What do you think of Wendy's?
It's okay.
All right. Say you're hungry for a Wendy's burger. You go down south. You go down to Caribbean. From the time they put the first brick down to the...
Yeah, to the time they flipped their first square hamburger, it was 4 years.
You got it.
All right. Point not made. 877-876-7445. We were going to get Pastor William Renick on the line here. Is he still hanging on?
Yeah, no, Pastor Renick on line 3.
All right, let me get Pastor Renick up on the line.
All right, please apologize to Pastor Renick. I'm very, very sorry, Pastor Renick.
Hey, Pastor?
Yeah, Phil.
And Kurt and Guy are very sorry.
I've been listening to what they've been saying. I have to tell you this much, Kurt and Guy. I think we have got a bad situation going here. I'm listening to this conversation tonight.
Yeah?
I'm listening to this conversation tonight. And I'm hearing all kinds of stupid. I'm listening to some black folks who are stupid. I'm listening to white folks who are stupid. But let me tell you this. You talk about putting a Wendy's hamburger stand up, and I'll agree with you that you can't get one built fast and you're going to build one in the United States of America, but that got nothing to do with black folk or white folk. It just got to do with America. That was my point. No, that wasn't your point. You didn't make that point at all. You didn't make that point at all. I was trying to make that point. You didn't even try to make that. I heard it, what you said to Mr. Henry, and you said to this other gentleman. You said that in the Caribbean, which is where my family comes from, by the way.
I did not know that.
Well, now you do. My family is Jamaican. And my family came to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My father went to engineering school. And then we moved to Birmingham, Alabama. It was probably the biggest mistake Bio Man ever made in his life. He went from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then made the biggest damn mistake he ever made and moved to Birmingham, which is kind of like going from the penthouse and saying, what's that? You got a basement-level apartment that right near the garbage so it stinks? Sure, I'll move there.
You're kidding.
No, would I kid you? You're my favorite.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445. We'll be back with Pastor William Renick. More of this scintillating story about his father moving from Milwaukee to Birmingham and and the cooking of hamburgers in the Caribbean. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm cooking a burger in the Caribbean. I'm just saying, you get a damn good burger if you have a cook.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show here. On the line with me is Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, and we also have Pastor William Renick as we continue talking here about Joe Biden, race relations in America, and so on and so forth. Pastor Renick, I just want to give you a couple of minutes here. So you were talking with Kurt, and Kurt, you and Guy both using this term that the coloreds down south are going to get the hamburger stand built faster.
For me, that's the kind of racism. I wasn't trying to be racist. I apologize, Pastor, but I was simply using that word because that lady had called in from Louisville, Kentucky, you know.
Right. The lady in Louisville used the word, but you use it too.
Yeah, a lot of whites down south say, we're always saying that the white, the black in the south are going to build a Burger King or whatever.
No, not a Burger King. So it's talking about Wendy's. Talking about a Wendy's.
But yeah, and that's what, that was the guy that Kurt knew. Is that right, Kurt? Yeah, that was my friend, Gene.
All right, so you know a guy who built a Burger King down in the Caribbean and he could not build it very fast because he had Caribbean blacks. And you say the colors down south are going to build one faster. That's racism, you know.
Well, I don't. He didn't mean that racist, you know.
Well, if you say the coloreds anything in America, you're racist. All right.
No, that's wrong. That is wrong.
Yeah, that is a term that is very well known to be very antiquated and extremely talk about code. That's not even code. That's just straight flat out dumb. Here is Roger on the Phil Hendry Show. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, I just like to make a comment to the two White Castle guys. When I hear the word colored as a white American, it makes me absolutely sick. African Americans, there's such a strong sense of institutional racism in this country that when I hear African Americans talking about the election, anti-gay rights, anti-women rights, I just have to ask them, how would they feel, or how did their parents feel 60 years ago when they themselves weren't allowed to eat in white-only restaurants, or they themselves were fighting for civil rights? So that's basically my question.
Well, young man, I need to ask you a question, young man. You said the two White Castle. I don't know who he's talking about.
Talking to you and Kurt.
I'll have to follow the reverend. It's just been a lot of stupid I don't know if you're talking about Burger King or White Castle.
I was talking about a Wendy's restaurant that a friend of mine had built in the British Virgin Islands, and he had talked
right.
that it took him 4 years to build this, and I said,
yes, no, I heard the story.
Okay,
but
all right.
As an African American, using the word colored, do you feel like that's an institutional racism coming out of your mouth? Do you feel like that brings you closer to white Americans? Does that
I am a black man.
Closer?
This is Reverend Reddick, and I am black, and I do not like the word colored. These two white men using that.
All right, so Kurt, you and Guy using the word colored, you understand is perceived by a great many Americans as an ignorant, racist term.
I feel I'm speaking as a Southerner, and I have to tell you, I'm offended by that. I am not a racist. Okay.
Yeah, but you're using a stupid word, colored.
Yeah, I hear people say it all. Institutional racism. It's institutional racism when Southern African Americans are using words of hate against their own people. That's the institutional racism I'm talking about.
Did you say you was gay?
No, I'm not gay. I stand up. I'm a virtuous man. And I believe that everyone that lives in this country, this great country of America, deserves the same rights as the runaway Nazis or the white blue hairs that are pulling the strings. The same people that are making you use the word colored. Those are the rights I'm talking about.
I ain't using the word colored. That was Guy Barton.
We've got one white guy here. Guy, you're white.
That's Brett, yeah.
He sounds a little black.
Well, I sound a little black because I've been around black people my whole life. And
you ain't been around black people enough. When you use the word colored, this gentleman here, I don't know why you brought up gay rights, though. See, you're not gay.
I'm talking about African Americans who fought for their own civil rights. During this election, there's been a divide on President Obama supporting gay American rights, gay and lesbian rights. And when I hear African Americans, now it's not all African Americans, but I do hear African Americans talking badly about this great president, it makes me sick because I can only think about their own struggles.
Yeah, this is Kirk Greedy, I should say. Young man, you're not gay, so I don't understand what the issue is, you know.
No, well, it has to
be. What
do you
mean, why does he have to be gay?
The young man is not gay, so I would agree with that.
No, why does he have to be? I agree with this man. I agree with Roger. I'm not gay, but I'm sick and tired of seeing people's rights denied them because of a certain type of orientation, color, etc.
Yeah, but you can't say that around black people because they'll go ape on you. You know what that means?
Why? When they were being hung from trees 50 years ago, why did they care about other Americans' rights? They have to worry about their own rights in this racist country.
Now, I don't know what he's saying. You know, I thought you was for gay rights. Now you ain't for gay rights.
I am for gay rights. I am not homosexual, and I am for homosexual rights.
You said you was against it, though, because the black folks got enough to worry about without
going out and joining the pot of public. When I hear African Americans speak derogatory terms of hate towards any other ethnic or sexual race or group, it makes me sick because I think about this country, America, 60, 70 years ago with the Jim Crow laws forbidding African Americans to eat in white diners. So I'm asking
you,
sir.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm asking you as an African American. Or
black,
as a southerner who has seen racism firsthand, I'm sure,
How do you feel living in a country where racism is still allowed to be spoken and hate is clouding the issues at hand? That's what I'm asking.
I don't agree. I can't agree with you saying that black folks should not have to get their hands dirty. I don't think black folks should have to get their hands dirty with the gay thing. But
why would they speak badly about President Obama, our first African American president, which is amazing, which I never thought I would see in my lifetime? Why would another African American speak badly against an African American president or against any other minority group? That is what I'm
asking. I agree with this, sir. I'm a black man. I'll tell you, I agree with you. I think Barack Obama, I didn't think he'd ever get elected. I can tell you this: I was on the Phil Henry program, and I was on the Phil Henry show before the election. I said, There's no way that Barack Obama is going to get elected. And when he did get elected, I said, by God, that man, he deserved it. And I agree with you that the black folks in this country have got so much to deal with that the gay, man, they got to get in line. You know, I ain't got no time for that right now. And
what is that supposed to mean?
That's what this man's saying.
No, he's nuts. Or against? I'm sorry. Are you for or against homosexual rights? That's what I'm asking you.
Am I for or against homosexual rights? Right now, sir, I got my hands filled trying to get the Mexicans and trying to get the women and trying to get the blacks. And you know that. We've got these people who are, disabled. I got more people in wheelchair. If I was a congressman, I got people in wheelchair. Now you ask me about what? About a gay? I don't know.
Any minority group, deserves the same rights as the white Americans in this country.
Well, that's a very good point, but you know something, young man? I would echo what my friend Kurt Queedy just said, and that is this, that the way they're talking, swear to God, 90% of everybody in America gay. You know what I'm saying? Because they're gay, man. Every time I turn around at one of these, what was the place the other day?
You talk about Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A! I thought the place was crawling with them.
Yes, because they have the same rights. They have the same rights as you to eat disgusting fast food. They get to walk into any disgusting fast food restaurant and eat the same food and the same tables that you yourself are eating at.
And I would agree with that young man. Chick-fil-A is a long-standing Southern institution, and I would love to see all people have an opportunity.
I walk into a Chick-fil-A, I try to get a bag of them chicken sandwich. And I got gays. Man, they're home.
Are you black or are you white? Are you black or white?
I'm a black man. Here's the thing. I'm a black man. Mr. Barton is white, and Mr. Queedy is white. Mr. Henry, I'm the only black man on the line here.
Right, right. Okay. And Bert and Kurt, but all three of them, Roger, are Southerners, and I think that's.
We all probably talk a little bit of that corn pone, but I would say this: when I go to Chick-fil-A. And I got a guy standing in front of me in them little tidy white, he got the little tight shorts, and he's kissing his boyfriend. What do you ask me to do?
Well, maybe he hates you for being African-American. Maybe he's disgusted
that
by being an African-American.
That doesn't make sense. That don't make any sense.
Why doesn't that make sense to you? You're disgusted by looking at him.
Well, there's all kinds of black folks doing all kinds of great things, but I don't see no gays hitting home runs.
What do you mean you don't see any gay? God. Unreal.
No, this is unbelievable.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You're telling me that living in Southern America as a black African male, that you are surprised that anyone would be disgusted to see you? That's what you're telling me.
Because the South has changed, my friend. The South changed. I go down to Atlanta. That's the black
it hasn't
Mecca.
Changed. It hasn't changed at all. It has not changed at all.
Atlanta's a black Mecca.
They have
and I go down to Atlanta
to hate themselves.
I tell you what,
and to hate other
I wouldn't go to heaven on a round trip ticket. I tell you, I love Atlanta. I wouldn't go to heaven on a round trip ticket. I love Atlanta. I go down to the Falcon game, everything. But let me tell you something. All the black folks in Atlanta, they're hitting home runs, scoring a touchdown. He's the mayor. They named a damn airport. But a gay guy, I ain't seen him score a touchdown lately.
You know what? You sound like an idiot, Pastor. You really do. No, you know what? He sounds like an imbecile. I put him on hold. I got to take a break, Roger. You made your case very well, Roger, and I agree with you. And I thank you very much, sir. I had to put the pastor on because now he sounds just like a blithering idiot. Oh, we're scoring home runs and knocking. I don't see any gay guys doing that. I wouldn't go to heaven on a round trip ticket. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, Pastor William Rennick, Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, and more of your phone calls here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, look, there's some of our southern friends right there.
It's The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, and Pastor William Rennick. Let's get to another phone call here. And on the line with us is Mark. Let's get Mark on the line. Hey, Mark, you're on The Phil Hendry Show here with Kurt, Pastor Rennick.
Yes.
Good, how are you doing?
We're doing okay. Hello?
So go ahead, Mark. What do you want to say, man?
Yes, I want to say something about... Would y'all talking about
this gentleman who's a security guard?
Yes, he is.
You want now?
You are a security guard, sir. Mr. Henry told me you were a security guard. Hello?
What happened to the guy? Are you there? Oh, he hung up. All right. What are you gonna do?
I don't know. You said that man's a security guard?
I thought he was, and
gotta be like he might be mentally retarded. Never can tell.
No, he was a security guard. And I wanted to hear his story because security guards working late at night, they're always listening to talk radio.
Well, I've known a lot of guys as security guards, and I always say, you listen to this guy's show, this and that guy's show. I've never known anybody that worked as a security guard had any brains, you know. See, that, to me, that sounds really racist. Why is that racist? Because that sounds like a man who looking down his nose at a man who has a job, you know, that doesn't pay him a lot of money.
Why do you think that racist?
Because I think there are a lot of black people. No, there are not a lot of black people. Most people that are security guards at night are dumb whites. You know, that right there, that's racist.
Why would you say that?
Who's talking?
Phil Hendry, the host of the show. Why would you say that?
Everybody know that most of the security guys are not. What do you mean, why would I say that? Everybody know most of the security guys are not a dumb white. I know there are dumb whites, I understand that. But I don't think the majority of them.
I got to agree with Pastor Rennick. Most of your security guys are dumb white. A lot of them. And most of them have brain damage or some kind of brain injury, you know.
Yeah. Are you telling me that my brother is missing part of his brain?
No, you know he is.
All right, nobody can talk. If this is a personal thing between you guys.
Well, this is something that Kurt had brought up before. You told my brother, and you say he's missing part of his head.
All I'm saying is his brother went into a goalpost as a young man, playing football over here at Aberdeen High School in West Charleston, okay?
Okay, you're talking about who?
I'm talking about my brother.
I'm talking about Kurt's brother.
He's talking about my brother, Don.
Okay.
All right.
And he, a young man, played fullback over here at West Aberdeen High School. And they had a big game, Saturday night game, Friday night, I forget what it is.
It was a Friday night game, they played in Dundee. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Okay. And he took the ball, and there was a very big play, and they had to score, and they did score. And I remember West Aberdeen there.
Yeah, they won the league that year, not that.
Yes, they did. They won the league. I forget the name of the league at the time.
It was Pioneer League.
Pioneer League. But his brother won't score the winning touchdown. So what happened, though, is the young man took the ball. He's playing fullback. He went right through the line, and he went head first in a goalpost. Now, the goalpost in those days, his brother older than him, was at the front of the goal line.
I remember.
You remember them days?
Yeah. I'm a little bit older maybe than you guys. Yes.
All right. The goalpost at the front of the line, and his brother took the ball, and... he went headfirst into the goalpost. It split the helmet, so it just made garbage out of Don's head. You know.
Yeah, they had his head. You can imagine that, Phil.
Split his helmet.
That's right.
Yeah, split the helmet.
I've heard of that before. You have?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that before. Yeah, especially you playing around these old ballparks. They got the brick wall around the field. You're gonna bust your head wide open on that. Yeah. And so what happened was. His head, the helmet went wide open on the goalpost, though, see? Nobody understand that. We tried to sue the helmet manufacturer.
Yeah, and we have none of it?
No, Dell, they wouldn't have none of it, because I figured Riddell, you know, but it wasn't Riddell. It was like, I forget the name of the company, but it was a very small southern company, or something like a football helmet company or something like that.
That was probably Bob Coleman's company, because he supplied all the high schools.
Wait, hold on for a minute, hold on. Your brother went into a goalpost head first. This whole discussion came out of what? It came out of the belief that most security guards at night are white because they're brain damaged?
Yeah, it came out of because my brother wound up being a security guard, and that's what guys are talking about, and I think it is very unfair.
That was coming this Pastor Reddick.
Yes, Pastor.
Look, I don't think guys being unfair so much as being realistic. If you look at 99.9% of security guard at night, they're all white men. And they all dumb it in a handful of clay, you know, a handful of Georgia clay. You know, so...
Well, that's a pretty interesting comment, especially when you're... Look at, you know, there's a lot of opinions about security guards, especially guys that are working at night. But may I remind you that there are companies that hire them, and they don't... You know, companies are not used to just giving their money away. It's not a charity job. It's not the Goodwill, you know?
Well, you know, it was for Kurt's brother.
No, it was not for my brother, okay? That's what I resent more than anything else, because he went head first into this goalpost still. And can I tell a story?
You're missing the point.
No, I'm going to tell a story. Hold on for a minute.
Let him tell a story.
My brother went head first into a goalpost, split the helmet wide open, made hell out of the head, like a hot mess out of his head, you know? And they carried him off the field. They asked him this and that. And he had that line out of Requiem for a Heavyweight. You know, they said to him, "Where are you?" He goes, "I'm in Pittsburgh and it's raining."
That's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, but if you ever saw Requiem for a Heavyweight, you would laugh. Very sad.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. He said, "I'm in Pittsburgh, raining, huh?"
Yeah, that's what he said.
He was quoting, that's a line from Requiem for a Heavyweight. Yeah, that is sad. Very sad.
Yeah, they said, "Where are you, Don?" They said, "I'm in Pittsburgh and it's raining."
Yeah, he's in West Charleston. I love that.
Why don't you have a little bit of compassion? So what happened to your brother?
Well, he started a company. They had a business machine company, converted to computers. He made billions, you know. And
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But he did start out as a security guard.
Was he brain damaged?
Well, they thought he was until he started making all this money. That, my God, my brother Don, brain damaged compared to him, the rest of us is brain damaged.
And they figured he wasn't brain damaged. They figured the whole rest of the family brain damaged. And that's when they said, "Well, why don't you all take up football, put on that football helmet, Company of America football helmet, and drive your head right into the nearest brick wall, and maybe you people be as rich as him someday."
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what the judge said in the lawsuit. You know, we sued that helmet company.
That's the dumbest ass. That's what I'm talking about, Phil.
So why did you get upset when he said that your brother worked in as a security guard?
Because he's trying to say my brother dumb. My brother not dumb. My brother's he's worth billions.
That's the goofiest story I ever heard in my life.
I can't follow it. All right, we'll be back. Thank you, gentlemen. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That it? I got way more to say.
So that's it for me.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And this is our news and information hour, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. I know that business had not finished, I think, with you and your aunt, Robert.
Yeah, well, it's bad of me, because I made a comment about that one girl.
What one girl, man? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, here, I'll tell him. Go ahead.
Talking about that one girl in Olympic, that she was the gymnastic.
Yeah, that one lady on the gymnastic team.
What one lady on the gymnastics team?
I said she looked like a Vulcan.
Get his mother on the phone, will you?
Which one?
Not his mother. I'm sorry. Mavis, his aunt. Get her on the phone.
What do you mean, which one? My mother's dead.
I know. I apologize, Robert. Mavis?
Yeah, what, that's not what you said. You said that he had a...
No, Mavis, I said that the DNA...
Yeah, this fool is telling me, Phil, that that girl in the Olympic team had a Vulcan DNA.
What? No, I did not. I said it. Do you think it possible?
How could it be possible? There's no such thing as a Vulcan. How could it be possible?
Wait, hold on. What are we talking about here?
Fool said to me that little girl Maloney, you know that little girl, she got a pointed nose, she's a very cute little girl. Okay?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the black one, I'm talking about the little white girl.
Hey, I think I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
All right, this fool said, do you think she have Vulcan DNA? And the reason why he said that is he said, you put pointed ears on that girl, and he said that's a green-blooded girl. And that is something to look into, some stupid thing.
If you did what?
I said if you put pointed ears on that one girl, Maloney.
You're talking about the gymnast, the Malika girl?
Yeah, that's right. And this fool said to put a pointed ear on her.
I was about to say, if you put a pointed ear on her, it would be a Vulcan.
That's the dumbest conversation I've ever heard in my life.
Amen. Thank you very much. That's what I'm trying to say to this idiot.
I didn't say I think she's Vulcan. I said... Is it possible to have Vulcan DNA?
No, there ain't no Vulcan DNA on account of no Vulcans.
Oh. Are you kidding me or something?
I'd like to go back to sleep.
Go ahead, Mavis. Sorry we bothered you.
You are one dumbass.
I didn't know, because I wouldn't have said nothing, okay?
Yeah, but there's no Vulcan.
There's no Vulcans, you jackball. She's got Vulcan DNA.
Yeah, if you put a pointed ear on her.
Well, nobody's putting any pointed ears on her. Put pointed ears on you. You're a Vulcan.
No, you put pointed ears on him, he got to be Klingon.
Klingon don't have no pointed ear.
Well.
I don't have any energy for this tonight, okay? Do you understand? I have no bloody energy for this tonight. I have no bloody energy for your foolishness, as our elderly folks might say. All right, the Phil Hendry Show here. $320 million Powerball numbers released. Woo! Man, that'd solve a whole lot. Who said money is the root of all evil? Let me tell you what the root of all evil is. No guts. That's the root of all evil. You want the root of all evil? Not having enough guts to go out and stake your claim in this world. Money can be the root of some very good things. And don't try to give me this line of crap, because every single person I know, including every single person listening to me right now, values money, wants more money than they have, and would like to have lots of it so they can do things that they would like to do. Now, that's just a fact. So when I hear people talking to me about, well, money isn't everything, oh, get out of here, will you? I know money isn't everything, and I'm not trying to badmouth or devalue the values of people, you know, the standards of people. I understand that there are things that are important to people that have nothing to do with money, but the fact of the matter remains, every single thing that you want to do in your life, you can do easier, you can do faster, or you will at least have the time for with money.
What about if you want to go to heaven? What are you talking about?
If I wanted to go to heaven?
Yeah.
If I wanted to go to heaven, you know what? You know the good that money could do? If I wanted to go to, what are you talking about if I want to go to heaven?
Yeah, but how did that make you be a humble man?
You could be a humble man when you have money. I would even go so far as to tell you that money might make it easier for you to be humble, because you don't need to impress anybody. You don't have to, you're not in any ego battle. You're not out in the world going toe-to-toe with the other beasts of the jungle. Money would give you time to reflect. Money would give you the opportunity to do good. Money would allow you to build things, to enhance people's lives. Tell me that money wouldn't build a nice school, or that money wouldn't be used as a scholarship to help kids go to school, or that money couldn't be used to build homes, or that money couldn't be used to build a clinic. Are you kidding me?
Maybe what they're talking about is a wrong use of money.
Well, sure, but is there any wrong use? If somebody has money, the only wrong thing that I can think of when it comes to money is if you steal it. But if it's your money, you know, barring doing illegal things, you know, paying off.
Yeah, well, you're like, you hire a killer.
Okay, I'm not talking about that, bud. I'm talking about, even if you spent the money on yourself, Let's just say you made a lot of money in your life. You're an honest man, but you made a lot of money in your life, and you spent it all on yourself. You didn't give one nickel away to anybody. You gave it all to yourself. Okay? I maintain that even that is not necessarily bad. That doesn't define your life. You might have done lots of good in your life, but you just didn't give any of your money away. You spent it all on yourself. Now, if for people to say, well, that's wrong, Phil, then they are giving money a value that they ordinarily, if they're the ones that say money is the root of all evil, and it's very selfish for a man to hold on to his own money, well, which is it? You know, I mean, if money is the root of all evil, then maybe he shouldn't be giving it away.
What? That don't make any sense.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. If you think money's the root of all evil, then you wouldn't want anybody to give it away. You see? All right. Having said everything that I've just said about money, which I don't even think I believe.
Yeah, you made all that up.
No, I didn't make it up. But I believe everything I just said. $320 million Powerball numbers released. Quick, check your tickets, sports fans. Did you ever see that movie, by the way? What was the flick about the Irish village that had the Irish sweepstakes?
Oh, man, that movie's pretty good.
Yeah, the old guys?
Yeah, they're a bunch of old Irish guys. Well, it was everybody in a village. And one of the guys wins the Irish sweepstakes, but he dies. They find a...
They found a ticket, and he had it. He's in his bathtub.
Right, he's in his bathtub. And they wind up pretending that they're all his... Somehow they conned the Irish sweepstakes guy into them, you know, giving them the ticket. And the thing that I thought was charming about this movie, and I forget... God, I wish I remember the name of it. It was the village. Did you see that village?
Yeah, man, that village about as bad as any... Like they lived in Africa or something.
it looked like an African village.
It was an Irish village. I mean, it was a post, what do I want to say? It was a post-Irish Revolution, from the ground up, Irish village. You know, probably the same kind of, I shouldn't say post-Irish, probably the same kind of village they've had for hundreds of years. But it was an interesting place because it took the Irish sweepstakes guy a chopper to get to it. Remember that?
Yeah, man. What was that about?
It was probably easier to get there by way of helicopter than it was to get there by way of car. I mean, that part of Ireland, I don't know what it's like now because Ireland's undergone quite a, there was quite a economic upturn in Ireland. I don't know where things are at now, but they had an incredible building phase. They're building homes, building new domiciles, new businesses left and right. All right. The $320 million Powerball numbers just came out at about 11 p.m. Eastern time. That was last night. The winning numbers are... I don't know if this will help anybody. Should I read them?
Yeah, go ahead.
6, 27, 46, 51, 56, and 21. 6, 27, 46, 51, 56, and 21. It may take several hours for officials to determine whether anybody won the enormous national lottery drawing, which is held in 42 states, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the District of Columbia. The prize swelled Saturday, if you'll pardon the expression, after no one hit all six numbers. The game's largest prize to date, $365 million, which was awarded in 2006 to a group of eight co-workers at a Nebraska meatpacking plant. Was that the group where the one guy...
That had some kind of a beef, I think.
Yeah, meatpacking plant of beef. That's pretty good.
I didn't know I was making a joke.
Well, what was the beef? What was the...
Yeah, a meatpacking plant.
Okay, bud. What was the problem?
I think one guy tried to say it was his ticket or something.
I don't think that was that. I think it was another one.
Yeah, that was later.
There was a group that had a controversy, and one of them said, no, it's mine. And the group said, no, wait a second, you bought it for us. We'll find out here. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more of this Powerball news and other news. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on this News and Information Hour for a Wednesday night. I hope you took the garbage out, bud, because it was garbage night.
Dead garbage night.
I mean, it was garbage morning. Well, you know. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, take yourself out, man. You smell.
Take yourself out.
World famous Bill Hendry Show.
All right, and thanks to Dan Northcraft, our intrepid technical director, part-time producer, all kind of thing. And he found a movie, Waking Ned Devine.
Yeah, that's the name of the guy. That's the name of the guy that died.
That was the name of the guy that died, yeah. Waking Ned Devine was the cat. That's the movie. And I would recommend it. It's a cool flick. It's just a cool flick. It's a feel-good movie, man. And, you know.
Yeah, but it's all fantasy and stuff.
Well, sure it's fantasy. So is Batman.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well.
Yes. What's the difference? You know, I mean, the difference would be is whether you're interested more in a Batman type of fantasy or they're interested. I like them both, you know. I'm into both of them. But I thought the flick was really cool. Because this movie, Waking Ned Devine, has a lot of story. There's a lot of heart to it. And it's about friendship. And it's about a lot of stuff, you know, that... All right, what I'm trying to do right now is... What are we trying to do, man? I'm trying to get back to Google so we can take a look at the other news, right? Bud and Robert, you had something you wanted to say?
Well, I mean... I found out of the lady you were talking about.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
That was a lady, that was last year. And they won a big Powerball, and only she came back and she goes, yeah, but... This ticket I bought for myself.
Okay, that was it, yeah.
About the lady that said that was her?
Yes, some lady, and I think it was in Pennsylvania, I forget where. But she went out and she bought two Powerball tickets. She bought one for her and her group from work. And then she said the other one was just for her alone. And it just so happens that the one that hit for $85 billion, whatever the hell it was, well, guess what? That's the one she bought just for herself.
Yeah, bullcrap.
I'm not going to approve that.
Well, I don't believe it either. You know, unless you walk up to people and go, oh, by the way, I bought two tickets. This one here is for me, and this one here. Are you trying to tell me that you're expecting, gee, that's really our tough luck. Wow, how lucky for you. It just happens to be the other one. So that's horse dung. All right, let's take a look at other news here. We're talking so much tonight about Biden. Ryan is in the news, you know, Paul Ryan. Now, there has been some reaction to the selection of this guy, Ryan, as the running mate for Mitt Romney. It ain't exactly been boffo box office. That's, you know, 42% in a Gallup poll that was released very soon thereafter. Well, the weekend, a little bit after the weekend. 42% of those polled... disapproved, I think, was it?
No, 39 in favor.
39 in favor, 42 disapproved, and there you go. Which, to me, that sounds, you know, some people will say, oh, wow, that sounds like a, you know, people are split down the middle, although it's not a overwhelming, like, wow, this is exciting, you know.
But you wasn't Sarah Palin.
Well, that was just it. Sarah Palin, when she was selected by McCain 4 years ago, had something right out of the gate. She had like a 48 or 49% approval. Paul Ryan likes exercise, budget chats, and the Green Bay Packers. Joe Biden likes train rides, foreign policy, and talking a lot. In some ways, those presidential ticket number twos could not be more different. They are separated in age by nearly three decades, were born to families in different regions of the country, and have views on opposite ends of the political spectrum. But in other ways... The 42-year-old Republican congressman and the 69-year-old Democratic vice president are very much alike. Both were born to Catholic families in working-class neighborhoods and were young stars in their parties who became experts on the inner workings of Washington. Poor families. I thought this guy was from a rich family.
What are they talking about?
I thought this guy, Paul Ryan, was from a rich... This is what this guy's Mike Lupica's column was all about. He comes from an entitled family, a founding family in Wisconsin. What's the story on this guy? Can't we get something straight here?
I don't know. I mean, that is what it said.
Well, this article written by Steve Peoples and Matthew Daly for AP says, and I'm quoting again, it says they're both were born families in working-class neighborhoods.
You know something, man? You can have a house in a working-class neighborhood and still be rich.
Yeah, if your dad owns a factory.
Right.
Well, maybe that's the case.
Yeah, because it said he come from a founding party. Found a what?
They didn't find nothing in front of the Fanny.
They found a Fanny?
What are you guys talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this guy, and you two guys are babbling about what?
No, he said that he came from a founding Fanny or something.
Not a founding Fanny, founding family.
Founding Fanny? Founding family.
Yeah.
from this clown, I shouldn't say clown, excuse me, this gentleman, Paul Ryan. I say clown because I'm getting frustrated with these two guys. Paul Ryan. But what I read in the Mike Lupica article was that Paul Ryan was from money. Now, this article says working class neighborhood. There's a difference. And it, like you said, he could have been raised in a working class neighborhood because his father owned a factory. I mean, we'll get to the bottom of this. Trust me, folks. After the news, we will have the answer for you on that. However, continuing on, perhaps above all, these men both do political things that respective number ones cannot. Biden, with his backslapping image, big smile, and hard scrabble roots in Scranton, is seen as more effective than President Barack Obama at courting white working class voters. Ryan, while less known outside his Janesville, Wisconsin hometown, is a favorite of the Republican Party's conservative base, a group that long has been skeptical of Republican presidential contender Mitt Romney's conservative credentials. The question that I have is this. Why is it so important in the Republican Party to court the hardline conservatives? Okay, well, because they make up a significant portion of the party. Their votes count, especially in primaries. However, and here's the big problem, when it comes to fielding a ticket, and you have to take into consideration every bloody time the hardline Republican, the hardline Republican, the hardline Republican, and you wind up losing the race because the country is not that in love with hardline conservatism. They just aren't.
Yeah, but they want to be ideologically like pure and everything.
What?
They want to be true to their philosophy.
Right. Robert's right. That's who they are. They're Republicans, and they want to make sure that they, make the Republican Party and the Republican base happy. However, I keep asking this question. I asked it 4 years ago. I'm going to ask it again. Is the Republican Party increasingly irrelevant? Now, you can ask the same thing about Democrats, but Democrats, it would seem, at least with this last election of Obama and in the ensuing years, even though the Republicans might have had a good time in 2010 in the midterms, the fact remains, I don't think that Ryan is going to help you get independents and is going to help you get the mainstream voter. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, sue me. Over the next 3 months, Biden and Ryan will play key roles in the White House race, raising money, criticizing the opponent, and helping lend credibility to complicated policy debates. Yeah, sure. Biden on foreign policy and Ryan on federal budgeting. They'll also inevitably create headaches for their bosses, as Biden did this week when he told a Virginia crowd that included hundreds of black people that Romney's plans for Wall Street would put them back in chains, y'all. Mostly their job, sell the boss to Americans and tear down the other guy. All right, we'll see.
Will we look that up?
You got to look up Ryan. All I want to find out is Ryan the rich kid that Mike Lupica painted him to be? Is Ryan the guy that has never had a job, never had to go out and get a job? Is all of that true? What are you talking about, Stephen Peebles and Matthew Daly of the Associated Press? The guy comes from a working class neighborhood. That's what I want to find out.
I'm on it.
All right. World famous Phil Henry Show. Reminding you that our website is philhenryshow.com. Haven't even talked about our website tonight. philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of our show every night, a massive archive, bigger than any single radio show has ever had, probably ever will have. It's available to you as a backstage pass member, and I mean full three-hour shows, not clips, not 30-second clips. Oh, here's what Bobby said today. No. All 3 hours, the horrible 3 hours, the whole story and nothing but the whole story right there for you at philhenryshow.com, plus our video archive, a five-day archive for our video cast, a one-year video archive of our Saturday night show. We also have the new Milwaukee Lion archive and new Milwaukee Lion games planned for this coming season, including a preseason game coming up this weekend with Jack Igagder and Brett Morrison. It's all at philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I'm not a Wikipedia fan. I've said it many times. One of the reasons I'm not a Wikipedia fan is it is not written necessarily. Excuse me, folks, but I've got a... I have an allergy where it feels like one part of my throat dries out.
Which part?
I don't know. Just one part of it. I just took a drink of coffee. I hope that that does it. Wikipedia is edited by anybody, and the people that founded Wikipedia probably thought that that was a really great idea. Well, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. And I'll tell you why. If you have an interest in scholarship and you have an interest in historical scholarship and reporting, this is a specific discipline and interest, and you have to have some grounding in it and some level of education in it. You can't just be some guy who goes on to Wikipedia and says, I have a political axe to grind with Paul Ryan. And keep in mind, folks, I'm not nothing I've seen from Paul Ryan. I'm not a big fan of his, but I'm just saying, I have a political axe to grind with Paul Ryan. So all I have to do is go onto Wikipedia and footnote and otherwise source the things that I'm about to say. And I can say anything. I can bend the story any way I want. For instance, I'm going to give an example. His father's death, talking about Paul Ryan's father dying, his father's death provided Ryan with Social Security benefits until his 18th birthday, which he saved to pay for his education at Miami University of Ohio. Now, this is fully sourced. One, two, three sources. Representative Paul Ryan, Politics in America Profile. That's where that's from. And then another comes from Kevin Chioli, who is Paul Ryan, and then another comes from Bobby Sawyer, 10 Things You Didn't Know About Paul Ryan, U.S. News, retrieved August 11, 2012. Now, these are fully sourced comments, but are they scholastically, objectively inserted and placed in this article on Paul Ryan? Do they have anything really to do with the story of Paul Ryan, or is it just one person's opinion of Paul Ryan and his actions? For instance, when you put these in the story of Paul Ryan, his father's death providing Paul Ryan with Social Security benefits until his 18th birthday, which he saved to pay for his education, that is put there to undermine Paul Ryan's reputation as a conservative politician, as an outspoken critic of Social Security. That was not put there for any other reason than to do that. Now, you may say, so what's wrong with that? That's not what a biography is for. Not everything in this world is you, and I, when I say you, folks, I don't mean you, but I mean is not, you know, individuals who want to turn the world into their own personal playpen. Their own personal little playpen where they get to take the world and turn it upside down or turn it. That's called historical revisionism. Yes, it's true that Paul Ryan, it may very well be true that Paul Ryan used his father's death benefits to put himself through school. It may very well be true that Paul Ryan saved it for his education at Miami University, all of that. But that's not what you put in a biography necessarily. Not in a 1-2-3 paragraph early life section of someone's biography. The only reason why that's put there is it's because it's Wikipedia, and Wikipedia allows any ass with an agenda to put anything in there so long as they're able to footnote it. And in this case, it's footnoted. The three articles referenced are three opinion pieces. 10 Things You Need to Know About Paul Ryan. I'm not a Paul Ryan fan. I hate Wikipedia. I hate you. And I had to laugh one night. A woman called up the show. And my God, she said it as if she was proud of it. She actually said the following thing. It says so in Wikipedia. Like we were all supposed to drop to our knees and praise Jesus. Oh, well, if it says it in Wikipedia, I gotta just...
Yeah, I remember that. She all thought it was great and everything.
Right.
Well, she's talking about like Wikipedia doesn't lie.
She thought that Wikipedia was the next best thing to the Encyclopedia Britannica for information. Oh, yeah, it's in Wikipedia, so it's got to be, you know. I had to laugh. I mean, we didn't have time. I didn't have time to say to her, ma'am, why do you think that's so great? You know? You go to Wikipedia, and there are biographies there written by the people themselves so that they are decidedly slanted in... It's like, in other words, it's like a piece of advertising.
Yeah, but they'll say that, man, on Wikipedia. They'll put up like this written like an advertisement.
Yo, no, I know that. I know Wikipedia will. Sometimes they will, but this article on Paul Ryan has absolutely no warnings, no messages from the editors or from the publishers of Wikipedia. Like a lot of articles that may be suspect, they'll say, "Hey, this is not sourced properly. It's written more like an advertisement. It's written by the source himself," you know, which they always find suspect. So they do their best. But here is a case where, by all intents, by all appearances, this was vetted properly, and Wikipedia says, "Yep, this is a very objective. This is a nice piece of material. This is a nice biography. This is a nice piece of source material on Paul Ryan." And I'm telling you, I just pointed out here in the second paragraph of the early life section of this man, someone put in the line here about the death benefits that his father provided for. This is an editorial comment on the life of Paul Ryan. Well, you know, you can read. People don't know what they're reading. I'm telling you, folks, you know, I'm not blaming Wikipedia. I can stay away from Wikipedia if I want to. They can do whatever the hell they want. What bothers me is that people will read this garbage, and then they'll say, "Well, I found it on Wikipedia." And then when they finally find out somewhere down the road that they're, you know, they got their head up their ass and they don't know what they're talking about, they'll turn around and say, "Well, Wikipedia, you know what? Don't you know what you're reading? Do any of you people know what you're reading when you're reading Wikipedia, or do you think it's actually some kind of fantastic site? Because it isn't." I'm sorry to have to say that. I know that they work very hard over there, a lot of them. But it's just not, it should never, ever, ever, ever be your primary source. Your primary, if you're going to go to Wikipedia, you better get two or three other sources.
Yeah, where are you going to go? Go to Paul Ryan's website?
Yeah, why don't you go to Paul Ryan's website? Ain't going to be no more.
Did I say go to Paul Ryan's website? I didn't say that. You're going to have to get two or three other sources. There is CNN.com. There's Fox. You could use both of those and kind of balance them off of each other if you want. There is an encyclopedia entry, I think, here for Paul Ryan. You could look at that.
Yeah, but what's the difference? You go and balance them off. You got Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is trying to make the claim that they are a far better source of information. They are trying to make the claim that they've got a far broader base of, if you will, researchers or reporters, because they're using all of us out here in internet land. And so they're much, much better than any scholastically supported encyclopedia. And I'm saying, no, they're not, because if you have 100 idiots or you just have 10 idiots, you still have idiots. And I'm not, you know, forgive me for saying that, but compared to a properly researched and presented encyclopedia entry, Wikipedia is dog poo.
No, I use it all the time.
Yeah, me too. It never gone me wrong.
Uh-huh. It's never gone me wrong, huh?
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. No, I don't know what you mean.
I mean, I've gotten good information stuff about it.
Really? You've gotten good information? That's great. That's great, bud. One of these days, let me ask you about whether the moon has green cheese or not.
That wasn't Wikipedia.
The hell? You told me it was on Wikipedia.
No, you know what it was? It was like on one of them UFOpedia or something like that.
Yeah, UFOpedia.
Well, then that's what you should have told me, man. Bud's telling me, you know that green cheese thing about the moon?
Shut up.
Yeah?
He says, yeah, I hear it's true.
Shut up.
No, I'm not going to shut up. You're the guy that said it. You got to live with it, man, for the rest of your life.
Hey, man. Hey, Bud, what kind of cheese they got on the moon?
Shut up.
Oh, he's going to bawl now.
What are you bawling for, man?
Shut you know.
Oh, quit crying.
It's not fair.
It's not fair? You're the idiot that looked up green cheese on the moon, didn't you?
How am I supposed to know?
How am I supposed to know? You know the moon ain't made out of green cheese?
All I'm saying is that's what they said.
Who said the moon was green? Only a fool would believe the moon's made out of green cheese, bud. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. Only a knucklehead. All right, let's take a look at some other news here on the Phil Henry. All right, bud, I'm sorry to call you a knucklehead, okay? But you are not mentally retarded, man. You don't have an educational disability. You know, all you did was run your head through an oak tree. All right. Let's see here. Arizona immigrants approved by the United States won't get licenses. Arizona immigrants approved by the U.S. Young immigrants authorized to work in the U.S. under a new federal program will not be able to get driver's licenses in Arizona. Republican Governor Jan Brewer issued an executive order saying state law bars benefits or state-issued identification for those in the country illegally, including those who qualify for the deferred enforcement program announced by President Barack Obama in June, which kicked off yesterday. She directed agencies to block access for an estimated 80,000 immigrants in Arizona who may qualify for the federal program. The order from Brewer came as thousands of young illegal immigrants lined up around the country to apply for work permits. Under the new rules, the program stops deportations of immigrants who have been in the country for at least 5 years, were brought to the U.S. before the age of 16, and go to school, graduate from high school, or serve in the military, among other criteria. Now, just think of that for a moment here, folks, before you get all high and mighty say Obama is nothing more than a socialist, communist, fascist, pinko, you know, whatever. Because this is the same thing that happened, you know, when we got hit at 9/11. They'd say, oh, this is profiling all Arabs. No, it's people from terror-sponsoring countries between the ages of 18 and 33 who are here in the United States on a student visa who are, you know. All right. The order from Brewer came as thousands of young people lined up to take advantage of this new deference program. It stops deportations of immigrants who've been in the country for at least 5 years, were brought to the U.S. before age 16, and go to school, graduate from high school, or serve in the military, among other criteria. So that's a very specific, that's not every bloody illegal immigrant. People that have been here, people that go to school here, people that served in the military, people that are, that have put down some roots, in other words. And that, more importantly, have been here, were brought here through no real illegal action on their own. They were brought here by parents, and they were raised here. So that is a specific set of criteria that it just doesn't mean any illegal immigrant.
But by, yeah, they're being in the military.
Yeah, and there you go. I would find it very difficult to say to someone who had just gotten out of the United States military, sorry, pal, you know, you are you're no longer, you know, I thank you very much for your service, but you can't have a driver's license. All right, we'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Finishing up, don't forget our website, and don't forget our new podcast. Got another podcast out, episode 30. And episode 31 coming up tomorrow on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at our website, philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hi, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Boy, I entered in L.A. Animation Festival once upon a time, not too long ago, I think back in February, and now my Google search just is all about the L.A. Animation Festival, man.
Yeah, it's like stuck in here, right?
Yeah, I mean, every damn would you like to know more about the L.A. Animation Festival?
Yeah, but there ain't no L.A. Animation Festival now.
No, but what it does is it's given me news about the third annual animation festival at Proctor's GE Theater. It's telling me about the 18th edition of the Encounter Short Film and Animation Festival in Bristol, Connecticut. And it's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-do. You know.
What's that mean?
What?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-do.
What?
What are you talking about, man?
That's what I'm trying to figure out you.
I just said that's a figure of speech. You got to be kidding me, man.
What do you mean?
You ever heard like bada bing, bada boo?
Yeah, like the bada bing in the Sopranos.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, I mean.
What does that mean? Bing, da-da, bing, da-da, boom, da-da. So anyway, all of these animate. Bristol Encounter Short Film Festival to screen 188 films from 36 countries. I got to be honest with you, and I say this with the greatest of respect. Animation is fine. Animation is like cartoons, as far as I'm concerned, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all it's ever going to be. And I've been to animation festivals, and I can't really tell you that it's all, you know, I don't care. I mean, I some of the weirdest-ass animation I've ever seen, and it makes me very uncomfortable, and I don't think it has anything to do with me being xenophobic. I know it doesn't have anything to do with xenophobia. It's a basic old brain, or maybe I've got what's called American brain.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, from the time I was a kid, when I could spot immediately foreign animation, and it depressed me. It made me sick to my stomach. And in other words, can you imagine a 10-year-old kid becoming just black with depression? Like, I feel like life is worthless.
What are you talking about, man?
That's what happened to me the first time I saw Astro Boy.
God, man, I did that.
I'm telling you, it's the truth. When I saw Astro Boy for the first time, that was the first piece of anime, Japanese anime, I ever saw in my life. And I think I think it's probably the first that a lot of American kids ever saw. I know that there was Supercar. I'm not talking about the puppet stuff.
Yeah, that was like Team America.
That was like Team America. The puppet thing was a different thing. And that was weird, but that wasn't anywhere near weird as that freaking Astro Boy. That guy he bummed me out, that Astro Boy.
What he looked like?
Well, he looked like all those Japanese anime with the big round eyes, you know, and he had retro rockets for legs.
Yeah, see, that to me, I don't know if they get away with that.
What?
Well, they're all like, yeah, hey, this is a Japanese animation. Look, oh, the eyeballs are round. Yeah, sure.
Well, bud, let's not get into that, okay?
Well, why do they make it look like their eyeballs are round?
I don't know, man. That's just what they do.
That is not dishonest, though.
Oh, will you knock it off, dishonest. I don't see anything. Their eyeballs are not that round.
Yeah, they are. Every time you see Japanese animation, the eyeballs is way rounder than the ones that a regular Japanese would have.
Yeah, like, I ain't talking about a cartoon Japanese, but like a regular Japanese that walks around and he had a cartoon.
You're talking about real life?
Yeah.
Then say it.
Well,
I'm not talking about Japanese that are cartoons. I'm talking about the real life Japanese that are walking around. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you telling me? That the Japanese in the cartoons, their eyes are too big or something?
Yeah, I'm just saying, ain't there such a thing as truth in advertising?
Bud, just let alone, will you? This is my conversation, not yours. Mine. And I don't, and then came the East, there's only the one thing weirder than Japanese anime, and that's the Eastern European cartoons, which those really give me the creeps.
Why?
Because those are always about some, like a drop of water that turns into a guy, and then he turns into a city, and then the city turns into an insect, and it just, the whole thing leaves me feeling like I'm in the middle of a naked, like William Burroughs' Naked Lunch heroin nightmare or something. Like I'm delirious. That's why I say I wonder if I suffer from American brain, because American brain, at least my mind, relates very simply to animation. Cartoons.
Well, you just don't want no political commentary.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Yeah, you do.
No, that's wrong. I can watch those Warner Brothers cartoons. They used to have the little man from the draft board, all that bullcrap, man. I don't mind that at all. That's the political comment in there.
Yeah, but it's not like all that brainy.
Oh, well, excuse me, I didn't know.
No, I'm not saying.
Oh, no, excuse me, bud, I didn't want to say, you and your kind, you're so intellectual when it comes to cartoons, I don't want to, you know, excuse me, man, I don't want to water down the quality of what you watch.
Well, either you get it or you don't.
Yeah, you're right, either I get it or I don't, man, and I don't get it, and you do. All those Polish and Hungarian and weird-ass cartoons.
They're not called cartoons, they're called animation.
Oh, it's animation. Yeah, I forgot. That's like calling movies film. I think the whole thing, you know.
You're just anti-intellectual, man.
Oh, now boy, look at the two of you guys all of a sudden. Well, maybe you guys are effete, snobbish. Think about that?
Maybe. Maybe we just got a higher appreciation on account of the different thing that you see.
Yeah, different kinds of cartoons.
Sure.
Don't get pissed off just because we have a higher taste in the things of life.
No, I won't be pissed off. I'm just, you know. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. This low-level and very unintellectual effort can be also enjoyed at philhenryshow.com. All you have to do is go get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of this Marvy show of ours. And don't forget our podcast, episode 31, coming out this very day, later today. Visit us at philhenryradio.com for our free Phil Henry podcast and also free live 24/7 streaming Phil Henry show at philhenryradio.com. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.